Second reading is from the 16th chapter of John, verses 12 and 13, and I am reading from the J.B. Phillips version, an old version that came out many, many decades ago and still has some beautiful, beautiful translations. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it all now. Yet when that one I have spoken to you about comes, the Spirit of truth will guide you into everything that is true. In our hearing, our speaking, our living." Where have you experienced God? Hopefully we have all, at least at some time or another, experienced God's presence here in this place and in other sanctuaries, other houses of worship. But beyond that, what are some other places you have experienced God's presence? And I invite you to just name some. It can be something general like the ocean, or something specific like the hiking trail out at Lake Brant. Tell me some places. Where have you experienced God's presence?
Garden.
In the garden.
Blue.
Say again?
Woodworker.
Woodworker shop. Blue Ridge Parkway, I think I heard.
Our wedding.
Your wedding, yes, indeed.
Hospital rooms.
In music. Senior high assembly. And with our children. The way your ghost, I thought you said your ghost. You had me worried, Steve. The way your goats look back at you. Yes, yes, yes.
Grand
the Grand Canyon, yeah. Marvelous, marvelous places. I suspect we can all name at least one place. But now if I asked you to name that experience, to tell me what God is like in that experience, that's a little harder, isn't it? It's harder to put into words, to say with great clarity what God is like in those moments. And so as humans through all time, we've used metaphors and analogies and poetry and art and the words of others to try and articulate this. And we can come close, but never quite grasp it. Many years ago, I know I've shared this story before, but years and years ago, there was a mother at the end of one of our Wednesday evening meals. She was ready to leave and couldn't find her daughter. We knew she was somewhere in the building. Her daughter was young. And I came in here, and the lights were off, and there she was. And I went up to her and walked her out, told her mom was looking for her, and I said, "Were you scared here in the dark?" And she said, "No. When I'm in here, I feel like God is hugging me." I've never forgotten that. Scripture, of course, has lots of images, a multitude of images and metaphors for God. Shepherd, father, midwife, mother, mother hen, whirlwind, warrior, bread, water, wild dog, woman in labor, king, aroma, and so on. We sang some of those images just now in unfamiliar words to a familiar tune. I've always had great respect for the Jewish tradition of not saying the name of God, because once you do that, you start limiting God, and that is a sign of disrespect. At different times and in different circumstances, the people of Israel believed God was revealing a name, or at least a description. I am, or as it has been translated, I will be who I will be, is what God said to Moses when Moses said, "Tell me your name." Sometimes that name was more of a breath in and out. A word. The first reading was Pat read for us was from Proverbs, where we meet Woman Wisdom or Madam Wisdom or Lady Wisdom, as she has been called. This figure of wisdom was traditionally, has been in the Christian church, associated with the Holy Spirit. And in the Greek language, the pronoun does come out she many times. But in the Western traditions, we've been not very comfortable with the feminine depiction of the divine. Part of the reason why there are still denominations debating whether women can be ministers, but that's another sermon. There are problems with limiting God to feminine or masculine images. God incorporates feminine and masculine aspects and so much more. So God is, in a sense, transgender, we can say. Wisdom herself reminds us of the continuously creating presence of the divine. Wisdom's words in this passage tell me God is indeed still speaking. Jean Peterson's adaptation of the Message says, she's taken her stand at First and Main at the busiest intersection. Right in the city square where the traffic is thickest, she shouts, you, I'm talking to all of you, everyone out here on the streets. How we speak of God matters. If you think of God as an avenging warrior or an angry father, your behavior will likely match that image. If God for you is a detached clockmaker, then it will affect your outlook on life to have this distant God. Or perhaps your God resembles the Greek gods, who were fearsome and more to be avoided or appeased. And that impacts your behavior. So we have all these images expressed in different ways about God. What can we really say God is like? Through all of these images, we can say that God can't be contained or defined. That God is a living presence, not static and not detached. God is diverse. Not just that God approves of diversity, but God is diverse in the ways God has chosen to be revealed and expressed. God is communal. Creation, wisdom says, happens in community. God is all about relationship and connection and grounded in love. God is to be experienced more than defined and limited. Throughout history, there have been attempts to fill in the picture. In the decades and the centuries after Jesus' resurrection, church leaders and theologians and scholars picked through scripture as one would for raw materials, and they constructed what made sense to them, what said, that's how God is for us. Only instead of building a beautiful open vessel, they developed a fortress, a concept we call the Trinity, God three in one, which has such beauty and power. But what happened after that was became a litmus test. Either you believe this way in this Trinitarian God, or you're a heretic, or you're out, you are other. Over time, people have used all sorts of different metaphors to try and understand the Trinity. This is Trinity Sunday, by the way, which is why we're talking about this. Three movements of a symphony, three forms of water, liquid and vapor and solid, three parts of an egg, and on and on. And as soon as somebody puts forth one of those metaphors, someone else is ready to say, oh, that's heresy. It's a challenging thing for us to wrap our minds around. Someone said, some of us are barely hanging on to believe in one God, and the church wants us to believe in three. I understand the frustration. Rachel Held Evans was a young and brilliant writer. I'm sure a number of you read some of her work, a blogger, a speaker. She had moved away from her very, very conservative religious roots toward a more expansive and inclusive faith. Her very unexpected death in April after a bad reaction to a flu medication was just a horrible tragedy for her family and friends and vast following. We were supposed to hear her at the festival in Minneapolis and had looked forward to hearing her. In one of her last Facebook posts, Rachel had written, "It's a frightening thing, thinking you have to get God right in order to get God to love you. Thinking you're always one error away from damnation. It's a kind of legalism, really. How ironic. The very condition of humanity is to be wrong about God. The moment we figure God out, God ceases to be God. Maybe it's time to embrace the mystery and let ourselves off the hook." An invitation to embrace mystery. You know, there are different levels of mystery. Right? Several of us, whoever gets here to the office first has walked in to hear the paper shredder going at full blast with no paper. It's a mystery. We have to now unplug the paper shredder. But it's a mystery that has an answer. There's a short or something somewhere. The mystery of the divine is not one we're going to nail down or fully understand or explain in this life. So how have you experienced God? For me, God is like the sound of Mavis Staples' voice, the smell of a gardenia bush in full bloom, the quiet majesty of a great northern pine, farthest expanse of the ocean, a presence in hospital rooms and waiting rooms, the sleeping face of my grandson. God is not contained or defined by any of those, but each of them remind me I'm in the presence of mystery. It doesn't mean we reduce God to our favorite comfortable images, but we get comfortable with not knowing. At times, God is indeed a powerful creator, at times one who redeems, at times one who makes whole, challenges, nurtures, nudges, cradles, confounds, and heals. Jesus said, "I have so much more to tell you, but you can't bear it all at once." And his words tell me we don't know and we can't pin it all down. His words relieve us of the burden of having to figure it all out, all the while inviting us to be ready every moment. Another writer, a longtime UCC presence and writer, Maran Tirabassi, wrote a beautiful poem. She writes, "God is like a braid, not a crew cut. God is like a symphony, not a soloist. God is like a family, any shape family, steps and blends and chosen, water cooler family and recovery group family, not like a hermit. God is like a soup kitchen where everyone eats together, worker and guest. God is not like takeaway. God sounds like the United Nations or a really big airport. God doesn't sound like a national anthem, anyone's national anthem. God is more like prayer concerns than a sermon, anyone's sermon. God is like Facebook, oh no, with pictures of dogs and vacations and grandchildren. Not a blog, maybe a Twitter feed. God is like a rambling farmhouse or trailer park or public housing, all those many, many rooms. God is not like a condo. God is like a baby born in a borrowed cave who flung the aurora borealis, laughed at pterodactyls, and is related to a burning bush that is also a chicken, but sounds like a Santa Ana wind or Babel turned inside out. What is your image for God? C.S. Lewis wrote, "The sweetest thing in all my life has been the longing to find the place where all the beauty came from." We don't have to have it all figured out and tied up with a ribbon. We can honor the longing and stand in awe of the mystery, taking delight in the countless ways God is present. I don't know how important it is for you to believe in the Trinity, but I know it is vitally important for you to stop and breathe in the divine. The world is overflowing with divine presence. She is around you right now. He is with you. They are guiding you. Amen.